So we've been walking through Leviticus, little by little, chapters 1 through 7 were the laws of the offerings, and then chapters 8 through 10 were the laws of the priests. So the offerings is picturing salvation, the priests is picturing intercessory prayer. In the study of the priests, we saw the strange fire, and we also saw that the only time that God puts holy and unholy in the same verse is when he's talking about drinking alcohol. So we learned something there. And then in chapters 11 to 15, the laws of the clean and the unclean, which included leprosy. And we saw last week where God pictured us being dipped in the blood of the bird that had been killed and then released, and how God dipped us in the blood of Jesus Christ and gave us freedom. Hallelujah. Now, in these next two chapters, 16 and 17, we have God describing for the first time to Israel what he called the Day of Atonement. It was one day a year, as we will see, where the high priest would go in and make an offering for the people. And it was only the high priest, who had to be a descendant of Aaron, that was allowed into the Holy of Holies. So it wasn't, nobody went in there for the entire year. Just one day a year, someone was allowed in there, and that was the high priest to make an atonement for the people. So that's where we find ourselves. So we'll read the first 11 verses of chapter 17. We'll go back and look at some of 16, and then we will learn some things hopefully tonight. So chapter 17, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, and unto the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So tonight we focus on the blood in the Day of Atonement. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of assembling here this evening and opening your precious word. As we continue walking through the law, may we learn and learn about our Savior, learn about his blood, his sacrifice, learn more about our salvation. And Lord, may we just grow through your word and grow in our service to you. Guide us in your truth tonight. May you be honored. We love you and commit the service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So quickly, let's just walk through 16, where he introduces the Day of Atonement, and just read a couple of things. So in verse 2, notice it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. So it hasn't happened yet. God's now introducing the Day of Atonement. And what he's saying is Aaron's not allowed in there except that one day, as you'll see. So it wasn't possible for all this blood that was happening all year long, every day, people bringing thousands of animals to the priests and all this blood being shed, really didn't accomplish atonement, did it? The Bible even says it's impossible for the blood of animals to take away sin in Hebrews chapter 10. So why all the blood? Well, to continually teach Israel that it takes blood, as we will see. So this is the first one. And Aaron was to put off his holy garments in verse 4 and put on different garments that were non-ornamental when he went in to set up the Holy of Holies for the first time. It had to be arranged and set up. And so he would, no ornamentation, teaching humility and holiness and Jesus' sinlessness, of course. But then in verse 6, he had to offer first for himself before he could offer on behalf of the people, because Aaron was a sinner too. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 9, that verse 7, into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. So he had to first make an offering for himself and then make an offering for Israel. Of course, Christ didn't have to do that. Amen. And then verses 7 through 9, we see the two goats. The slain goat, which is the Lord's lot, which pictured Christ dying as our propitiation. And then the scapegoat, a lot like the two birds we looked at in chapter 14, showing that Christ removed our sins, and that goat was then released into the wilderness. So in verses 12 and 13, his first trip into the Holy of Holies was to bring in the coals and the incense. Then in verse 14, his second trip was to bring in the blood of the bullock for him and his own house, which was sprinkled on the mercy seat and on the ground. And then his third trip in verse 15 was to bring in the blood of the goat, which was to make an atonement for the people's sin. Because only blood, as we saw in chapter 17:11, which is our destination, can make atonement. Amen? Only blood. The Bible has said that all the way through. But, you know, chapter 17, verse 11 is not only the key verse of Leviticus, but it's one of the key verses of the entire Bible. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Amen? You get to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and what's it say? Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It takes blood. Amen? So in 17, it says there that no man was allowed in, except for Aaron, of course, and he had to go in alone. That's changed, hallelujah, for you and me, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we can come boldly under the throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 4. Because remember, God ripped that veil from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross to say the veil was removed. Man is allowed into the Holy of Holies now through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 20 of chapter 16, it says, and when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Notice how God there equates reconciliation with atonement. And you can't have one without the other, can you? You and I have been reconciled to God because of the atonement of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then the sins of the people were laid on the goat in verses 21-22. Just like it tells us in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sins were laid on Christ, just like the sins of the people were laid on the goat here in chapter 16. And then in verse 29, we see that the people were to fast on that day of atonement. Notice it was the seventh month, the tenth day of the month. That was the day of atonement here in verse 29. So verse 30, on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you. You shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. This shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And then he did as the Lord commanded Moses. So this was the introduction and the preparation for the yearly Day of Atonement. We get to chapter 17, which is our passage tonight, and it says in verse 5, to the end of the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. God made it very clear, while Israel was traveling, and when they had the tabernacle, that you weren't allowed to offer an animal anywhere else. You weren't allowed to be out in the open field, or if you were traveling or whatever, you weren't allowed to say, I'm going to make this sacrifice unto God, and I'm going to kill my animal right here, and this is for God. You weren't allowed to do that. God made that very clear, didn't he? That you had to bring it to the tabernacle. There was no other place that you were allowed to bring an offering unto the Lord but at God's altar. Well, here we are 3,500 years later, and there's only one place where you can meet God. Amen? And that's at the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's only one place you can meet God, and that's at Calvary. And of course, in verse 7, it says that they should no more offer sacrifices unto devils. 3,500 later, men are still sacrificing to devils, aren't they? So that didn't change much. And God has always been very sensitive about drinking blood, hasn't he? That's verse 10. He says that if you eat any manner of blood, I will set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. That even carried over into the New Testament, didn't it? Let's look at it, Acts 15:29 quickly. Remember Acts 15, we looked at it recently, was the first Bible conference. Why was it held? When did we look at it? Oh, in our Galatians study. It was held because the Judaizers were coming in and telling Gentile Christians that unless they kept the law and got circumcised, that their salvation wasn't complete and they couldn't go to heaven. So they got together and had a big Bible conference with all the apostles. Said, what do we tell these Gentile churches? And here's what they told them down in verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. This was in the letter that they sent to the Gentile churches. Number one, verse 29. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. That's it. Those four things. That's all they put in the letter to the Gentile churches. No circumcision, no law. But notice that the blood was still there. Still not allowed to drink blood, even in New Testament days. Why is that? Well, we all know why. Because the blood represents the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Still does. And God did not want man to drink it. And still doesn't want man to drink it. And that's not a nutritional thing, by the way. It's a Bible thing. That brings us to verse 11, our destination tonight. One of the key verses of the entire scriptures is Leviticus 17:11. If you want a verse in the law to memorize, memorize this one. Look what it says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Let's stop there. Now that's a scientific fact that's in scripture, isn't it? And yet man didn't figure that out until about the 1700s. And even then, he didn't completely figure it out, because even in the late 1800s, doctors were still bleeding people to try to get the sickness out of them and then wonder why they died. Because they bled the life right out of them. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. They tried it even during Civil War times. If they would have just read the Bible, amen? The life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, we know this today, don't we? Medically. We know that you take too much blood out, people die. What do? Well, we give them transfusions, give them other people's blood so that they don't die from loss of blood. All they have to do is read the Bible. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. That word atonement literally means covering. New Testament equivalent word would be the word propitiation, which also could mean satisfaction, that God is satisfied with the blood of his Son as the covering for our sins. That word atonement is a very big word. And as I shared, I think this morning, the word atonement in the book of Leviticus appears 49 times, which is 60% of all occurrences of the word atonement in the entire Bible are in the book of Leviticus. So now we know Leviticus is about atonement. And then the word blood appears 88 times in Leviticus. 20% of all Bible occurrences are in the book of Leviticus. So blood and atonement are a big deal in Leviticus and a big deal to God. Isn't it sad how the Jews missed this ever so important truth? That by the time Jesus came to the earth as God in the flesh, what were the Jews doing? Were they trusting in blood? No. They were trusting in works. They were trusting in what they did. They were trusting in all these jots and tittles that the Pharisees had added to the scriptures. But they certainly weren't trusting blood. And when Jesus died on the cross, they didn't get it, did they? Well, sadly, most of them still don't. And most of the world still doesn't get it, that it takes blood. Never forget, ask people that question. When they try to tell you, if you get into a conversation with someone, you're sharing the gospel, and then they try to tell you that they believe they're going to go to heaven because of something they've done, maybe got baptized, maybe joined a church, maybe they think they're a good person to keep the commandments, maybe they're kind to their neighbor, just say, why did Jesus die? Just ask that one question. Why did Jesus die? If you can earn your way to heaven by doing all these things, then why in the world did the Son of God have to die? Trust me, they can't answer that question. And they shouldn't be able to unless they can come to the acknowledgement, hold on, if Christ had to die for me to go to heaven, then I can't get myself to heaven. Amen? It takes what Jesus did alone. Because as God says here, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And we could never overemphasize the power and the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. I just wanted to take a few minutes tonight and talk about that. The power of the blood. What it does for us. So it's quite a long list. I don't think I counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Well, that's a good number. If it can't be 7, it should be 12, right? So, number one, it atones us. Amen? Praise God for the atonement through the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, let's go to Matthew 26, 28. It remits our sins. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. That word remit means to negate or offset. Matthew 26, verse 28. Jesus said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I love that word remission. That's number two. Number three, Romans 3:25, it propitiates. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And again, if you had to try to pick the New Testament word that most closely tied in with the word atonement, it would be propitiation. And then Romans 5:9, it justifies. It says much more than being now justified by his blood. Hallelujah. Justification means to be declared righteous. Ephesians 2:13. I know there's a lot of scriptures, but we're talking about the blood here. Ephesians 2:13. It brings us close to God. Notice it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're brought back close to God where we were separated. Colossians 1:14. I put these in scripture order to make it a little bit easier. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So the blood forgives our sins. Colossians 1:20. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things. So the Bible says his blood makes peace with our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 9:12. It redeems us. Notice, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Hebrews 9:12, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Never did God say that Israel could have eternal atonement, did he? The priest had to go in every year. Does Jesus have to die on the cross every year? No. Eternal redemption. Amen? To redeem means to buy back. And while you're in Hebrews 9, look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Isn't that pretty? Purge your conscience. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is why we're allowed to enter into the presence of Almighty God in the Holy of Holies, because of the blood. It's the blood that gives us the boldness to enter into the holiest. That word holiest is also Holy of Holies. It's not talking about the earthly one, but the heavenly one, where our Heavenly Father dwells. He lives in the Holy of Holies, the holiest place. And then Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And then Revelation 1:5. We turn there. This is just a sampling of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Power in the blood. Amen. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We're going to get to heaven and we're going to be amazed at what the blood of Jesus did for us. It takes blood. Here God is trying to teach Israel early in their existence. Now that he's giving them the law, it takes blood. It is the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so Aaron had to go through all these rituals to get it ready. He had to go through all these rituals before he was allowed to go in. But when he did go in, he went in to offer blood. The blood for himself and then the blood for the people to make an atonement. Now, some people have tried to define it at one-ment. That works too. We're made at one with God. You can use that if that helps. But it is the blood. So like I say, if you want a verse from the law to memorize, memorize Leviticus 17:11. It's what a beautiful truth. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. We should be so grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And don't let anyone ever try to diminish its importance or its power in your salvation, because it's impossible to do so. You can't over talk about it. Praise God for his blood. And that blood that Jesus shed, we don't understand how all that works, of course. How the physical blood, and then he offered it without sin in heaven. We don't understand, but that doesn't matter. God is God. God can do whatever God wants, and God chose to do it this way. And he chose to pay for our sins with the blood of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that blood represents life. Amen? Jesus gave his life for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave, what? His only begotten Son. Jesus gave his life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Hallelujah. The blood. Praise God for his blood. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this short little lesson from the Day of Atonement. Thank you that our Day of Atonement happened 2,000 years ago, and it's done. We can't thank you enough for that. and for all of these wonderful truths, Lord, that apply to our spiritual lives now because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, you even told us to remember when we take the Lord's Supper, the blood. May we do that. May we never forget that we're going to heaven. We get to see you. We get a mansion. We have eternal life because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.